Hey now everybody, I'm Sean Quinn and today is another very special UX Advantage podcast. You see, for the past several UX Advantage podcasts, I've been joined by Jared Spool, which was pretty sweet. But today is even better because we are all really lucky to be joined by the co-executive producer of the UX Advantage conference, Karen McGrane, who along with Jared has been working really hard on putting together a unique conference that focuses on UX strategy issues no one else is talking about. How are you doing today, Karen?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Using UX as a competitive advantage is what UX Advantage is all about. Karen McGrane and Jared Spool interview design leaders on what they do to instill UX within their corporate DNA. Explore the conference at uxadvantage.com.
So the speed of agile delivery fundamentally changes the work process, and it puts new demands on the design cycle. So what happens when the notion of a deadline date is replaced with a continual stream of experience enhancements by everyone in the organization? It must put some strain on the top all the way down to the bottom. What do you have to say about that?
Well, it's just such a fundamental shift in the way that we work. And as far as I can tell, it's moving our design and development practices into a truly digital space. When you think about all of the historical models from other industries that we have been basing software development on, whether that's, you know, I do a lot of work with the publishing industry, so the idea of you're going to print a magazine every month, so you've got to have this big push up until the point where the magazine gets sent to the printer and then you can't make any more changes to it. Or, you know, architecture, obviously. It's like you either have a building or you don't have a building, and it's not like you can, you know, be continuously adding to the building. Or even thinking about software development, the idea that up until really just a handful of years ago, all software development was essentially products that were bought in boxes on the shelf. And, you know, you had to have a marketing plan behind them and TV commercials and whatnot. And now, like, the idea that we would be creating websites that way, or apps or digital products that are only ever going to be delivered through the web or through the internet, well, that just doesn't make sense. Like, why should we be following that sort of offline box-centric model when we could be continually updating and iterating on these products? And so that's just a fundamental shift in the way that we think about our workflow, the way we think about our processes. How do you make decisions? Who do you have working on the team? Who has the power to make changes? And I think it's quite transformational for organizations to start thinking that way. And I also think it's probably a pretty hard shift. I'll say again, I do a lot of work with the publishing industry. And so moving an organization away from we publish a magazine every month to we are constantly writing stories and publishing them on our website, like, you might think you can just get them to start being like, oh, okay, we'll publish things all the time. But it doesn't work that way. Like, it changes the whole culture. It changes the whole value system of the organization to be working that way.
Right, and it, I imagine, also changes the perception outward, inward of your consumer base of what's the value of this thing if I don't have to wait 30 days for the
I mean, it changes the economic structure. It changes the revenue model. It changes the level of quality in some cases. You know, or how do you decide whether something is good enough? And, you know, all of that, I think, we talk about those decisions as if they are purely technical decisions, right? Like, how are we going to decide if we're ready to ship something? How are we going to evaluate success? But it really gets to, you know, some really deep-seated cultural issues, some really deep-seated values around how the organization describes what it does, what the right way to do things is. And those things are harder to change, I think. And I think even organizations that say they want to work in a more agile method or say that they would like to move toward continuous deployment, it's going to take them a while to get there. And it's not that technically they couldn't get there, it's that culturally they can't get there.
And whenever you couple fundamental shift or fundamental transformation followed by an organization, if an organization could cringe, I believe that those terms, fundamental shift, would make that happen. So as organizations become more calcified with the systems and habits that they have, how do you go about getting everyone in the organization on board to not only embrace the concept, which is seemingly hard enough, but to then put the concept into action for execution?
I think we're going to have some great speakers at UX Advantage who are going to be able to talk about how they did that at their organization. Bill Scott from PayPal, I know, has some fantastic stories of how he has moved PayPal to a lean UX-focused organization. And I really think that all of our speakers are going to be able to describe much better than I probably could what it actually takes to get your engineering team, to get your design team, and to get your executives on board with what it means to do this and to do it right.
So again, I mean, we've talked about in our other conversation of how these topics are, you know, intertwined with one another. And I'm thinking, as I'm hearing you talk about the incentives and rewards, there must also need to be a fundamental shift in how those are conceived of and then distributed when you're changing the rate with which things are deployed. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, I think one of the things I'm most fascinated by is how does an organization tangibly reward people for performance? Like, I genuinely believe that you can look at how particular executives in the organization get their bonus and diagnose what that organization really values. Like, they may pay lip service to, you know, caring about design or caring about the user experience, but where they put their money is what really motivates them. And I think Jared is fond of talking about this, that many, many organizations are motivated by ship dates. So there's this sense of, okay, we've got a product and we think it's got to launch by a particular date, and somebody's gonna either get a bonus or get fired based on whether that product actually meets that date. I know I have definitely worked with organizations that have said, like, this thing has to launch by such and such a date, and we will give you more money if you hit that date. So that sets up some really perverse incentives, right? Like, that sets up some incentives to launch something, even if it sucks. Like, even if it doesn't meet the needs of the business, if it doesn't meet the needs of the users. But by God, you know, you had that hard deadline, and you needed to have something to show for it. So I think that when you poke at that problem, you realize that there is a deeper ecosystem of goals and motivations that also needs to be changed in order to make something like this happen. So, you know, you may need to ensure not just that the continuous deployment or that you're moving to an agile method, you might need to ensure that HR is on board with writing job descriptions or writing bonus plans that don't use ship date as one of the motivations. You might need to change the way that your contracts are written. You may need to get your legal team on board with working in a different way. And we're going to have representatives from the U.S. government digital service, the White House, and from Fidelity talking about how you change the legal and procurement processes to make things like that happen. So I'm really fascinated by how changes like this happen in large organizations, because you realize it isn't just the engineering team, for example, saying, hey, you know what would be great is if we stop focusing on ship dates and instead move to a continuous deployment model. It's the rest of the organization has to be on board with it as well. And you've got a lot of little ducks you need to get in a row there before that can happen.
Let me ask you this then. Is it possible to apply what we've been talking about to the actual process of getting everyone in the organization on board? So could we be continuously deploying, getting people on board as we move towards getting everyone on board? I'm not sure if that makes sense, but that popped into my head when I was listening to you. Can you move before you have everyone on board?
So I think many of the guests who we're going to be talking with will be able to speak to the small changes that they've made. And yeah, I think there's no way that anybody would ever get anything done if they believed that they had to make, you know, one massive shift in the organization overnight. I think that one of our guests said something like, you know, you got to eat the whale one bite at a time. So how do you figure out like what the small incremental improvements are that you can make in your process so that over time you get to the place you want to be? You know, big changes are scary. They're risky. They're something that people really don't want to take on. But can you do a pilot project? Can you start hiring for some new roles that might start working in this way? Can you change the way that you structure your contracts or change the way that you structure your weekly meetings so that you're moving in that direction. I think, you know, I would never encourage anyone to think like, oh, we're a failure if we can't do all this all at once. Instead, it's saying, where are we at right now and what are the baby steps we can take in the right direction?
That's great. And where we are right now is at the end of this podcast. So I wanted to thank you for your time today, Karen.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right. So watch for other podcasts that'll be covering more of the conference topics. And be sure to check out our conference speakers and all of the topics at uxadvantage.com. You definitely don't want to miss this event, and it's coming up fast. It's in Baltimore on August 18th and 19th. You can register at uxadvantage.com. Bye for now.
For more information about the UX Advantage Conference, visit uxadvantage.com. As always, thanks for listening.